Start where we always start with team news. Sam Luckley said probably missed the first two rounds. Is he on track to make a return this week?
Yeah, he'll be in contention, Sam. So we are fortunate this week that we've got the majority of our squad to choose from. And so Sam will come in contention for this week.
Dean Adley as well missed last week because of a head knock. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's on track as well, Dino. So he's passed all the protocols, being a specialist. So he's passed all that, and Dean will be definitely back this weekend.
And Mikey Lewis, maybe tweets his back in the game last week. Is he all right?
It was a TV game, so Mikey just, a bit of drama around it.
Wanted a bit of camera on, did he?
No, he's okay, mate. So, yeah, he did tweak his back, kicking the ball and obviously slipping, but it was okay. It settled down after a couple of days, so Mikey's okay.
I think you touched on it there, but obviously having a Sam and Dean coming back might give you a few selection issues, especially given how well your pack's been playing. How would you go about selecting your team this week?
Yeah, it's difficult. I'll go through the same process as I do every week. I'll go through my staff or our staff first and get their views and their opinions, and then I'll have mine on top of that. But so that process will stay the same, which it does every week. But it puts us in a position this week which you want to be in. You want to have those headaches, and we certainly got that this week. And there's going to be some players miss out that, should be in the team. But unfortunately, you can only pick 17.
We spoke to Jai Whitbread today. He's one of those players in the pack who's had an impressive first two games at All Care. How have you made of his performance in these opening two rounds?
Yeah, good. The exciting part for me is, he's best rugby's ahead. He's obviously adapting to the way we do things, the way we train, and we got him over here for a reason. He can play big minutes, and asked him and Jez Litton. And Minnie last week, to play big minutes. The other two played full games, and Jai played, huge minutes for a prop, and there was a lot of quality in there. So, there's no doubt that he's going to be, better for what he did last weekend, and we'll see the best of him, come around 11, 12, 13, once he's fully fit, fully match fit. But he'll play big minutes for us, and that was a big reason to get Jai over. We just needed that prop that could play bigger minutes, and Dean's been sort of moved to prop. He can play back row as well, but Jai's the one that can play big minutes and still do what he did being out there with high quality.
Obviously, Jai's quite a young lad as well. Do you see him with room for development in that, in terms of as he matures into his game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, 25, 26, like most of the time, players start to go in their peak, but there's no doubt with being a prop, once you're fully developed, you become a grown man, and, that's sort of 27, 28, 29, and that's when, his best years are ahead of him. So it's great that we've got him this year, and there was a number of clubs that were after him, and we're glad that he chose us.
Another player coming back this week will be Matt Parcell after he served his one-game suspension. Obviously, Jez Litton playing the full 80 last week. How does Matt Parcell feature in your squad and in your thinking this week coming?
Yeah, look, Matt, I've always said it. We've got two very, very good hookers. But at some stage, we may not go with two hookers, or just to be depending on the bench and rotations and things like that. So Matty will come back into consideration for this week. Obviously, wasn't happy with having the week off, but he'll certainly come back in, and we know what he does to our squad and what he brings out of dummy half, and he'll do that for us every week.
Will Jez be on the kicking duties again this week?
I don't think I can give it to someone else after 5 from 5. So he's been putting photos up of himself, so he's pretty proud. But as I've always said, the goal kicking's it's something that we need to keep working on. It's not a because it worked for us last week, and it's something that there's 3 or 4 or 5 guys that are still working hard every day and when they can to improve the goal kicking, and Jez is our goal kicker, and we said the reason why he ended up getting the the tee last week is he's probably the most natural kicker. He's certainly the most natural in general play. So, again, he will get better. There'll be times that he will take a dip, like any goal kicker. But we've obviously brought Ben Reynolds to the club, and Ben Reynolds is I think I asked him, was like an 88% goal kicker last year. So, we knew there was a gap there, and we're doing our best, as I said previously, to make sure that we, we work hard to get that area right, because it's so important.
Obviously, with one of the issues that with Jez kicking throws up is if you do run that two-hooker squad and you rotate between him and Matt Parcell, Jez might not be on the field for a full 80. How will you go about compensating for that if Jez, spends 20 minutes off in a game?
Yeah, exactly what I just said. We've got three or four guys goal kicking every day, and that's what we'll need. So if Jez is, if we did go with Matty and Jez is... needs a spell, that we've got a backup goal kicker. So we're working on, as I said, there's a number of guys kicking because of that reason. And as I said, there's also Ben Reynolds who will kick as well.
Speak about Ben Reynolds, because this is the first time we've chatted to you since you brought him in. What's your reaction to bringing him into the club?
Yeah, obviously we needed to fill that replacement, and I think we've got a quality player in Ben. He obviously played, we know him well, played against us many times last year and got us in that Challenge Cup final. But he played a key role with Lee. I know what they think of him, just his early, sort of the early signs that, he's really looking forward to proving himself at our club. And I know he's 110% committed, just things I won't go into publicly, but... he's done a fair bit to show his commitment to us. And I know he wants to prove himself. And there's no rush for Ben. We'll just take our time with him, and then just make sure that we get him right and get him where he needs to be. But he's going to be a key player for us, at some stage this season.
Obviously, he's got fairly tough competition in the halves with Tyrone and Mikey in there playing the first two rounds. What's his approach to that, and what's his attitude that you've seen from him when it comes to fighting for a place in the starting squad?
Yeah, exactly what I just said, mate. He wants to prove himself, and he'll do whatever it takes to do that. So whether that be playing another position as well, we do need... I do like to have a half on the bench who can play half and nine as well. So there's definitely that opportunity for him down the track. He knows at the moment where he sits, and he's very comfortable with that. He's, as I said, there's no rush. We'll just take our time. And at the moment, Mikey and Tyrone are our number one sort of half pairing. But as we've seen with everything going on at the moment, it can change pretty quickly, and rugby league can change very quickly. So we're a squad. We're a genuine squad. When we train, it's still sharp and still sort of mentality. And then once if whether it's form, whether it's suspension, or unfortunately if it's injury, then that next person's ready to go. So we'll work on Ben to make sure that he's up to speed with our calls and our systems, and just get him to where he needs to be. But as I said, there's no rush with him.
One of your other halves, Tyro May, getting quite a lot of praise, including from yourself after the game last week. One thing you said, were you quite keen to encourage his open play and his off-the-cuff rugby, as you call it. Of course, those are characteristics that we often think about with Mikey Lewis, his partner, when we're talking about halves. How do you make sure that you're encouraging both players to play that off-the-cuff rugby, but also having like an anchored and solid halfback pairing?
Yeah, I mean, when we looked at our squad, obviously, when Jordan moved to the Catalans, Jordan was probably more that organising type halfback, where the other two were, play what you see type halves, and then not so much, the on-the-ball halves. But for me, after seeing more and more of Tyrone, he can play that role. There's no doubt about that. So, as I say, those two have got areas in their game you cannot teach. You can help with game management, but certainly our framework and our structures, they know what they are, and they're playing within that at the moment. You look at the halves pairing across the competition, it's very difficult at the moment for halves to stand out. But I've been really happy with the way that their partnership's developing. Now, look, we've got high standards and we're always talking about improving. But again, you're not going to see the best of our halves pairing until, you know, again, round 10, 11, just as you're not, you know, the Leeds half pairing or, you know, Huddersfield, they've got a new half at the moment. So it takes time. But I'm happy where they're at the moment. And it's easy when you're game planning against opposition and you look at a halves pairing that are really structured and they do play for play. It's pretty easy to get a defensive system in place. But when you've got you know, some off the cuff or whatever you want to call it, eyes up footy players, it makes it more difficult. So we've got our framework and our structures, which they know. You know, when to stick to that, but they've also got a free rein to be able to go outside of that. It's up to them to have their reasons why they've gone outside of that, but it's, as a coach, you certainly want to give players freedom to do that.
So is that something you're actively trying to develop in terms of your attacking options? Because, of course, you mentioned it there. Last season, you had Mikey Lewis as your off-the-cuff man, and then either Jordan or Roan as your more structured, solid halfback. Is it a case of both Tyrone and Mikey having both those aspects to each of their games then?
Well, what we want to do is get more out of our nine. We want to get more out of Jez, who's been starting. And then we want to get more out of Mini, who's doing a really great job at the moment in our structures and being that ball player in 13. And then we want to get more out of Petter at fullback, who's very, very smart and understands. You know, we have scenarios at training and he's, a lot of the time, he's the voice behind all that. So we want others to complement you know, what we've got with Mike and Tyrone. So they play a big role in it as well. Because as I said, like, we don't, you know, when you do lose, you know, an on the ball or, you know, a true organising half, then you need to look at your strengths. Our strengths is certainly what these guys bring that other teams will find difficult to plan against. You know, it's like some other, you know, other teams have got those players as well. So you let them go, and what you need to try and do is free them up and find ways to free them up. And as I said, guys like Mini and Jez and Petter will help do that.
I think it's fair to say that Petter looked a lot more settled into the fullback role last week than he did in round one. Have you seen him warming into that position now?
Yeah, I've seen it all pre-season. I mean, I thought he was really good in the friendly against Leeds. It was a dry track, and he caused them a lot of headaches in that game. But I've seen that all pre-season. Look, you got to look at the conditions. You know, obviously last week, and you know, the first game, yeah, I think he dropped the ball once, but then he had the kick. So people were looking at his game for the kicks. But if you have a look at Petter in the top 5 metres, he's in the top 5 metres for the competition. So he's a different type of fullback. So you've got different types of fullbacks in, you know, both sides of the world. But, you know, in the NRL, you've got a James Tedesco who's on the ball, bounces around, pops up anywhere. He's been a fullback for, you know, obviously the last 10, 12 years. You look at Dylan Edwards, different, totally different style. Latrell Mitchell's more of a, he's not as in the game as much as a Tedesco. Not running as frequently, but when he's involved, he's potent. There's all different types of fullback. I see sort of Petter in the middle in terms of he's a runner. So he's that Dylan Edwards style. You're going to see a lot of run meters. And coming out of trouble, it gets us on the front foot. Last year we lost Sean Kennedy-Dow, obviously, you know, who got us on the front foot with Hawley. But now if you have a look at Petter, he's getting this quick play of the balls, but people sort of don't see that. They're looking at the big plays and the trick plays. I guarantee you that'll come, you know, once the sun comes out and it starts to dry up. But all I'm looking at is how hard he's competing and, you know, his effort and all that sort of stuff. But he's actually got a skill set that's, again, you can't teach. It's natural. And again, that'll come, you know, with the dry surfaces. But, you know, if he keeps running the ball and he's in that top five, then, you know, we're going to see we'll see a lot of him, because he'll be touching the ball, which means we're in a good place.
Must be handy having Petter and Ryan Hall, who are both massive meter makers, running out as well. Is that an asset that you're looking as one of your strengths?
Yeah, it is, to get us on the front foot. And then it does help with, it helps your nines get out off the back of that, helps your halves play over the advantage line. You know, last year we probably played a lot out of our nines. This year we want to we use our halves more and play and get them on the front foot. So it's just finding that balance with our nines getting out and when our sevens want the ball. But to do that, you need go forward. You need your Ryan Halls and your Petr Hickers getting us quick play of the balls. And we've done that. The first two games, we've been around 1,700 metres for our run metres. And when you're upwards of that, most of the time it means you're in a good place. And you're asking, doesn't necessarily mean you're asking a lot of questions, but it means that you're sucking the life out of the other opposition team because they're on the back foot. And we've probably done that well in the first two games. But as I said, once it starts to dry up, we keep asking a few more questions.
And I guess that factors into your defensive performances. You only conceded 12 points over the first two rounds. How happy are you with how your side is defended?
Yeah, really happy. That's, I said when I first came to the club, our defence was our number one priority and number one focus, and that won't change. Obviously throwing discipline with that as well. So they're the two areas that we are, focusing on. As I said, when you're running metres with the ball, means you're okay. You still need to ask questions, but the main area we want to get right is our defence, and we're certainly getting that right. But that's there's no end to that. We can't be happy just to get a zero in the first game, and then you get 22 points put on the next week or 26 the week after that, and then you go down to a 12. We need to be consistent, and we've got our KPIs around what we want to achieve with our in terms of our number with our defence. But overall, everyone's buying into the systems and everyone's working hard for each other, and that's the main thing. And when you've got that, you usually see decent results, which the first two games we have.
With defence, obviously, comes discipline, which we'll probably talk about, given that it's taking up a lot of space in fans and media and everything. What are your views on the discipline in the first 2 weeks?
Oh, what do you mean when you say discipline?
As in all the conversations surrounding disciplinary actions and red cards and that. Do you think too much is being made of it, or do you think it's something that will just even out?
Well, I said last week, we need to be very careful that we're not giving red cards out for the sake of it and cards out for the sake of it. It affects the product, it affects the game, it affects, not having your best players on the field, affects the spectacle. But you need to make sure that you're protecting the players first and foremost. So again, I'll say it: if there's a swinging arm around someone's head, that's a no-no. It always has been, and it needs to be. But obviously, we've had some situations on the weekend. Like I was, vocal earlier on about we're going to have accidents. People are going to have accidents on a footy field. You have accidents, in a lot of different environments you're in, and sometimes they're just accidents, and we saw that in the weekend. So, we've got our coaches meeting, and obviously the RFL are putting things in place to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. So we'll know more, this afternoon, but we certainly can't react to accidents, that's for sure, because we will lose too many people watching our game. I think we'll lose people, that young kids might go the opposite way. So, as I said, number one for us as a sport is to make sure that we minimise concussions and player safety is number one. All us coaches back that 1,000,000%, but we just need to be mindful that we don't have what happened on the weekend, that we don't react to situations like that, because it's not good.
Seen some real positives coming from rugby league over the first two rounds, but are you annoyed how much of the conversation is around disciplinary? Would you rather be talking about the increased attendances and the games that we've seen in the last fortnight?
Yeah, of course we all do. I mean, I watch every game. I love the game, and I watched the games after our Friday night, and I'm sure everyone would agree that they were really good spectacles. I thought St Helens and the Huddersfield game was high quality. I thought there was flow in the game. When it was a penalty was ordered. There was no cards because a card wasn't needed. So I thought there was, people have used the word common sense. I thought there's a lot of common sense and the approach to the way those games were refereed. And this is the referees are only doing their job of what's been told in terms of a framework and all that sort of stuff. So, but I thought the flow in itself in the games that were played, on the weekend, were far better to watch. So, you only have to look at the World Club Challenge. That was a great game to watch. So, again, player safety is number one. You'll never hear anything from me. If a player gets hit around the head or a red card's needed, so be it. But we can't be giving them out the way we have been.
Let's look towards this weekend then in Salford. At this stage of a season, we're two games in. How much of your preparation during the week is focused on the opposition, given that you've only seen them twice, versus how much of it is focused on you, given that you're a fairly... There's a lot of fresh faces in the squad. So what's the balance like between working on yourselves and preparing for the opposition?
Yeah, so we had our whole pre-season, which was solely focused on us and getting our framework right and our structures and systems right. Naturally, once you start, you start to focus on other teams as well. Now, we'll never lose. Number one for us is what we're doing well and what we need to improve. But we will always look at the opposition team in high detail, which we've done this week. Salford are actually—they're a good team. I know they play it down. I know their messaging's around. They've got the lowest budget, and they should finish 12th, and all that. We don't buy into all that. I know exactly their approach and the way their messages are, and I know what they'd be doing internally. You have a look at their back line. You have a look at their players that they've got in their 17 at the moment. Are of high quality. They're getting David Nofaluma in, who I'd imagine will play this week. Individually, they're as good as most teams, certainly with the ball. So they're going to be a threat. So, yeah, we've put a lot of detail into preparing for this week, but a lot of our detail as well will go into, or planning will go into what we can do better, or what we've done well as well.
One of their standouts, of course, have been Lenny McDonald. I think he was fairly high, if not top of the list, for both carries and offloads in round two. How much focus are you putting on mitigating his threat?
Yeah, well, you certainly need to. But as I said before, then if you put too much focus on him, then Tim Laffey will hurt you. Then you've got David Nofaluma, you've got Watkins, you've got Snead, who's playing really well at the moment and orchestrates everything. They've got quality all across the pitch. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not buying into any of their talk around budgets and they should be finishing 12th and all that sort of stuff. They're a good team and they've proven that over the last few years of where they've sat. We're going to their place. It's going to be a tough game, but we're looking to go and improve from what we did last week, and we're looking for it's going to be a good game.
Obviously, Salford there lost a few faces, brought a few faces in. Have you seen them change between this season and last season?
Yeah, they've got a similar style. They have changed in ways as well. I think the first game they defended well. There's some grit about the team there. But their main strength is obviously their individuals in terms of their offloads and Kale style rugby. But they've got their shapes as well. Now, when you preview a team like Salford, you don't sort of pinpoint they're going to do this for this for this. They have structure, they've got a framework, but they certainly play off the cuff as well with their offloads. And as I said, I think they're probably the number one offloading team in the competition. So, they're going to ask a lot of questions, but we stick to what we believe and stick to our systems, and then hopefully we'll be okay.
Cool. I'll leave you there, mate, and pass you over to others. But cheers and good luck for the weekend.
Thank you.
Hi, Willie. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Not bad. Just two from me, and the first might be me just overreading something you said about the majority of the squad being available. Is there anyone not available this week?
No, mate. Everyone will be available this week.
We know there's a coaches meeting. I don't know if it's happened yet or it's happening this afternoon. I know you've touched on, about the cards and stuff. Is there anything else that you think either needs clarifying or changing? Robbix has been quite open and said they are open to changing some things to try and make it better. Is there anything in particular that you think in that area just needs looking at and working on?
Yeah, well, I just think, as I said before, mate, it's the accidents. It's the genuine, we're talking around, the head clashes. Unfortunately, in our sport, any contact sport, you're going to have... head contact or head clashes at times. With you look at the surfaces, how slippery the surfaces are at the moment. You look at the minimal amount of time that players have to make a decision. You know, a player might be running into a certain defender and have a bit of late feet and go into to another defender, and that defender doesn't have time to react. They clash heads, then the defender's getting, at the moment, is getting sent off. Now, that was my sort of concern at the start of the year, and I made the point, and you know we were sort of told at the time that it was going to be you know, if they bend their back and they do certain things within a framework that they'll stay on the field. Look, we've seen players get sent off that shouldn't be sent off. You know, we've had some downgrading, so I think we're going to get there. We've got a meeting this afternoon. There's no doubt we're going to get there. But for me, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you're going to have some collisions. And you know, I've said it before, like if you go low, you can still get knocked out. You can still have a knee or an elbow or, you know, you can have contact at the head. You still can get concussed now. So we need to keep working as a game on making sure that it's as safe as possible. So we need to work hard on tackle technique. We still, we need to make sure that there's minimal or you know, as much as we can of that head contact. But we can't just react, you know, and that's the biggest, I suppose, the biggest, you know, point that I want to make is that there's going to be accidents in games, and we just need to, you know, have common sense around, is it a genuine accident? Why did it happen? But you're not going to hear anything from me. If one of our players has a swinging arm and deserves 10 in the bin, or, you know, if they did get sent off and it's a legit send-off, well, it always has been like that. So that should never, ever change. It's just where we went last weekend, we've gone into some areas now which, you know, I know the RFL have responded well from that in terms of, you know, like New Brown's example. So he didn't get suspended. That should never, ever, ever have been a send-off. There's no way in the world that should have been a send-off.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Hi, Willie. It's Martin here.
Hey, Martin. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, mate. And congratulations on the start so far. Interesting game. It's of all this weekend's games, yours is the one I'm most looking forward to watching, because I always enjoy watching you and I enjoy watching Salford, and it's one I find incredibly hard to predict. So, but I'm just wondering, you were talking about preparing for this game. I just wonder whether you've been putting your wingers through some catching practice, because Sneed is probably the leading kicker in the game, arguably, and is almost bound to put, you know, your wide guys under some pressure, and if they show any weakness, they'll get more and more of it, I would imagine. That must be an area that you look at, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely, Martin. I mean, we make sure that our wingers and our fullbacks are catching after every session, but certainly this week they're going to be tested. He's got a really good kicking game, Mark Sneed, and, you know, he's a quality player. He's the one that organises, and he's the one that gets him around the park, and he's got that little bit of off the cuff as well in terms of his early kick. So we need to, you know, we've got a bit of a plan around it, but obviously we need to react as well, because it'll come when you least expect it.
Can I just ask you about one of the features of the game that's not been talked about so much this season, but actually sprang to my mind watching the World Club Challenge, because the six again rule, I think there have been fewer of those sort of decisions. I think the World Club Challenge game only had about four six-again rulings. I might be one out either way. But it's really interesting that Dylan Edwards, his try came very soon after Penrith got a six-again, and Jake Wardle, his try came very soon after Wigan got a six-again, which just sort of, to me, shows the potency of that decision and how important it is not to give any away if you can possibly avoid it. Now, you know, I just wonder what you think of, and the other thing connected with that ruling is how random it sometimes seems. I can never understand sometimes why they happen in certain tackles but not in others. But, you know, I just wonder if that's on the agenda today as well for the coaches.
I don't think that would be. I think it's obviously what's been happening with the cards and things like that.
But yeah.
I mean, I've always been a fan of six against, just purely around, I like fatigue in the game where, like you said, there's a couple of tries that were scored off it. When the game's two stop start, teams, you know, manage that and can defend that. And once they've got time to get a breath, as I said, it gives them time for their line to get set. And when you've got six agains, it just puts that attrition in the game. And I think, you know, in big games like the one you saw last weekend, it can be the meaning of getting a try or not getting a try. So I think, you know, I'd like to give the game, you know, obviously we've changed the ruling over here around our flops, and I think that's far, far better. You know, I'm enjoying the refereeing around that. You know, last year did in yardage, they're giving penalties as well, so there's a good balance.
It's interesting, just looking at your team, last year you went to Salford in the second game of the season and had a really good win, 24-10. I was just looking back at that, and all your points were scored by players who were no longer with you. You know, four guys, I've just got it here actually, Ryan, Holton, Wood and Dagger. None of them are here now. It's amazing how things change over time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I looked at that game as well, and I noticed the same thing, so might have to bring him back, score a couple this week. Like, obviously, yeah, players' movement in a pre-season and things like that, but I've got, you know, footage of that game which I have showed, and it was something that we looked at. But yeah, Salford's going to be, mate, it's going to be a similar sort of game for what we had last year. I think 24-10 didn't sort of indicate how tough that game was. We only come away with it in the back end, so the scoreline probably flattered us, you know, made us look like we were dominant. We certainly weren't. We had to fight for every inch that game.
Yeah, they got you back on the Magic weekend, didn't they? So, yeah, although you beat them a couple of times at your place. So you've always had good games against them. And as I say, it's now that every game's on TV, it's one that I think everybody should be promoting.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the brand that they play, it's exciting. Everyone loves watching them play. So, and, you know, playing against them, they're a difficult team to preview because they are off the cuff and they've got their structure, but they do throw the ball around. So we've always had good games. And, you know, last year we played here, it was 12-0 we beat them. And pretty much, I think whoever won that was possibly going to be, you know, in that six. So as I said before, certainly, yeah, we've got our respect for them as a team, and don't buy into one bit how they talk themselves down.
And final point from me, mate. Now that every game's on TV, do you think we should have a captain's challenge over here? Because it would have been interesting in the World Club Challenge, wouldn't it, when Liam Martin stripped the ball and got penalised for it? I think with a captain's challenge, that would have been probably turned over, to be honest. You know, and it's just one example, but... Do you think we're edging towards that?
Oh, look, I'll be honest. I think there's other areas to work on before that, which hopefully in 2 hours I'll get a bit more clarity. So, yeah, we need to get other things right, mate.
Okay. Thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers. Thanks,
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Hey, Willie. You all right?
Hey, Sam. Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Just literally one quick question, kind of building on what Martin said about... Mark Snead being such a good kicker. Has Joe Burgess been very helpful this week? Obviously, because he's trained with him I think they played together for about 3 years. Has Burgess offered insight that you maybe didn't already have? And is there any chance that he could be named this weekend?
Oh, first, he'll be in the 21 again. And we'll finalise the team later in the week. But what we do as coaches, obviously, we put the game, put our preview together and what we think, and then we'll ask the players a lot of questions around what they're seeing or what they know about Salford. And obviously, you know, we players speak up. So Joe's been helpful, and obviously given us his thoughts of the game and what he sees at Salford.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much, mate. And good luck for Saturday.
Yes, mate. Saturday. Yep.
Good luck then.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.